Oh, well, let's see. Oh, we have a good crowd here.
We're hearing Diamond Lil ramp up for a story as part of the Carapace Story series at Manuel's Tavern in 2013.
Well, it was many years ago, and I was a young damsel, so full of the love of life.
Diamond Lil's story is set in Savannah, Georgia, where she was born in 1935. As a little boy, she was already fascinated with women's wear, donning her first drag ensemble at age 5. And what she is describing in this story is her first night out. Out and out on the town in drag with her friend Mademoiselle Sophie. They decide to go to a Halloween party at the American Legion,
which is just full of servicemen. Which, of course, I adored all of that, and so did Sophie. We didn't know what was going on in life. We thought we had some unnatural desires. You know, that wasn't exactly to the norm.
And during the evening, the pair got into trouble.
So when I returned to the table, I found Miss Sophie. Several servicemen had surrounded her, and she was just screaming and hollering, "I am not really a real woman." And I thought, God, she's letting the cat out of the bag. This is not a good thing.
As Diamond and Sophie drove home that night, two servicemen from the party followed them, which turned into a violent sexual encounter for Diamond. Although, recounting it all those years later at Carapace, Diamond's delivery made the audience laugh. And that night was just one time that Diamond was harassed in Savannah.
We believe that Diamond first came to Atlanta in 1965 and actually was basically run out of Savannah.
Here's Atlanta LGBTQ historian Dave Hayward. He was also one of Diamond's good friends. In Savannah, Diamond was dishonorably discharged from the National Guard because of her gender nonconforming ways.
You know, she would say, well, you'd get arrested, you know, standing in the bar. You'd get arrested walking down the street. You'd get arrested parking your car. And so she constantly was being arrested that way. And finally, she appeared in a courtroom with a judge, and he said, I'm really sick and tired of seeing you here, and if I see you here again, I'm locking you up and I'm throwing away the key.
Compared to the deeper south of Savannah, Atlanta was an oasis for Diamond. When she arrived, she began performing at the handful of gay clubs here at the time. In her act, she sang classics like Ruth Brown's As Long As I'm Moving and her own original songs.
It is very rare for drag queens to actually do sing their own songs. Not only sing their own songs, she also, she wrote music. She had her own music that she published.
That was the Georgia Voice's deputy editor, Patrick Saunders. And Diamond was relentless when it came to sharing her music with the world. Wherever she went, she had a CD in her purse ready to sell.
Wow!
That relentlessness and her dedication to doing what she loved defined her life. And while she never said she was an activist, just by being herself, she uplifted her burgeoning community. Like in 1972, she performed at a dance for gay and lesbian students at the University of Georgia, a dance that UGA and the surrounding community were totally against.
Really intense police presence was there. It was a real cultural war. And, you know, Diamond was very, very generous that way to do that. At the time, I think Diamond was the biggest name in female impersonation in Atlanta.
And burn my fuse, love generator, turn this engine, get it ready to drive.
Diamond has been cited as a huge inspiration for the next generation of drag queens and transvestites. Her beehive hair and over-the-top look inspired people like RuPaul, and her singing influenced several Georgia musicians. And in many ways, she became the grandmother of Atlanta drag. Even the Georgia Voice's Patrick Saunders, a member of the media, was showered with her grandmotherliness.
Diamond was a throwback sort of in all the best ways. She didn't do computers. She would send handwritten letters in the mail. She'd send holiday cards every year.
Diamond has received numerous honors for her life in Atlanta's gay community. Atlanta Pride and Touching Up Our Roots honored her as a pioneer and community builder, an honor Dave said she thoroughly deserves.
People don't necessarily, some people, they wouldn't know Diamond. And it's like, you really don't know your community unless you know Diamond. Diamond is, and on these shoulders we stand.
Let's get back to that story Diamond Lil told at Carapace. After that violent encounter, Mademoiselle Sophie said this to Diamond.
What do you want to do now, Lil? What do you want to do? I said, I don't know. However, I think if we went downtown, we might could pick up another stranger at the Elbow Room and continue this escapade. And that's what we did. Thank you.
Despite growing up in a difficult time, Diamond went out and performed, which she did all the way up to a month before her death. She was always ready for the spotlight. For City Lights, I'm Gabby Watts.
I'll get it, honey. Y'all